Here is Willis Dunbar to bring you the story.
Good evening. The story of KVP begins in ancient times in the city of Pergamos on the Asiatic side of the Aegean Sea. There were lots of sheep and goats raised in Asia Minor, and this city built many tanneries. These tanneries turned out a material upon which one could write. Turned out so much of it that the material itself came to be named after the town, Pergamos, or in the English form, parchment. Centuries later, when paper had replaced the old parchment for most writing and was being produced in so great a quantity that it was available for other purposes, an ingenious mind developed the process of dipping it into sulfuric acid, followed at once by a water bath. This caused the fibers to dissolve and form a jelly-like substance, filling up the minute holes in the paper and producing a paper that is completely insoluble in water, fat, or oil, and is even stronger wet than dry. The usefulness of such a paper for protecting butter, meat products, lard, and other materials where water or grease is a problem is quite obvious. But what could you call it? It looks somewhat like the old parchment made from sheep or goat skins, and so it was called parchment. To differentiate it from the older parchment, it was called vegetable parchment, since it was made from wood fibers, a product of the vegetable kingdom, instead of from the hides of sheep or goats belonging to the animal kingdom. So much for the VP. But where does the K come in? How did it happen that one of the world's largest plants for making this material is located near Kalamazoo? That story, too, has its beginning on the other side of the Atlantic. For Jacob Kindleberger, the guiding genius of the enterprise, was born in the province of Alsace-Lorraine, that troubled region lying between France and Germany. His parents brought him to America as a small boy, and the family located in Ohio. There, at the age of 10, Jacob went to work in a paper mill, cutting the buttons off rags for 25 cents a day. His eyes were bad, and he located the buttons by touch. At the age of 15, he was inspired by a minister to make something of himself. He obtained his first pair of glasses, borrowed books from friends, and started studying. At 21, he entered the fourth grade, finishing high school and continuing to college, only to be balked again by poor eyesight. Then he returned to the paper industry and became a very successful salesman of parchment paper. Soon he was ready to launch out in an enterprise of his own making. He came to Kalamazoo in the year of 1909 at the age of 34 because this city produced so much paper, and his idea at first was only to start a plant to parchmentize paper made elsewhere. He interested local investors to the tune of $50,000, took over an abandoned sugar beet factory located 3 miles north of Kalamazoo, assembled some ancient machinery and equipment, and started operations. The first order was filled on April the 8th, 1910, and since that date, the mill has never been down a single day for lack of orders, nor has there ever been a day when blueprints for expansion and growth were not on the planning board. That expansion has proceeded in a number of different directions. The same food dealers who bought parchment also were in the market for waxed paper, made by dipping paper in paraffin, then cooling it rapidly. And so in the fall of 1910, the first waxing machine was installed by KVP. Today, KVP is the largest producer of waxed paper in the world. It made some of the first waxed bread wrappers ever sold. Naturally, merchants desired to have printing on the waxed paper covering soap or cornflakes or bacon or hundreds of other products. The printing could not be done after the paper was waxed. And so in that same fall of 1910, the first printing press was installed by KVP. Today, no less than 43 huge printing presses are printing the paper to be waxed later and shipped to buyers all over the country. These huge machines are fascinating to watch. When I visited KVP, one big press was printing ivory soap wrappers at a speed so rapid you could scarcely read the printing as it came off the press. Printing led to plate making and ink production, also to a staff of artists. The art department at KVP makes original sketches and drawings for various kinds of package paper and comprises the largest self-contained graphic arts department in the paper industry today. Until 1918, KVP manufactured none of its own paper. But in that year, as a result of heavy demands growing out of World War I, the first paper mill was built, and in 1923, the second. This last mill, advanced in design, clean and modern in every respect, came to be known as the world's model paper mill. Parchment had ceased to be dependent upon others for a steady and constant supply of paper for printing, parchmentizing, and waxing. And then expansion went a couple of steps further back in securing materials. Paper is made from wood pulp, and that pulp had to be transported long distances before it reached the KVP warehouse, where 7,000 tons of it can be stored. Before World War II, part of it came from the West Coast and part from Sweden and Finland. Obviously, if it could be produced nearer to Kalamazoo and by the parchment organization itself, economy and dependability of supply would be ensured. And so in 1943, KVP purchased a pulp and paper mill located at the town of Espanola in Ontario. That's some 150 miles east of Sault Ste. Marie and only about 500 miles from Kalamazoo. Well, that gives KVP the closest possible source of available pulp timber on this continent. Some 6,500 square miles of timberland are in the tracts along the Spanish River, enough to make a strip 2 miles wide from San Francisco to New York and back to Kalamazoo. Expansion continued in other directions. Mills to print, wax, and rewind paper have been established by KVP in Houston, Texas, and Devon, Pennsylvania. In 1943, KVP brought the Harvey Paper Products Company of Sturgis, which for a long time had been buying parchment papers and wax papers for conversion into paper baking cups, pan liners, and placemats. And although today, Uncle Jake, as he's affectionately known, is taking it a little easier than he did in the old days, vigorous younger men, headed by Ralph Hayward, president, are carrying on the tradition of steady growth. Annual sales topped $14 million in 1944. The total number of employees is edging toward 4,000, and the total assets are almost $20 million. But how about the people who work at Parchment? Some 1,700 of the 4,000 work in the home plant. Around it has grown up a community, which has been incorporated as the city of Parchment. Its center is a spacious community house and Union Church. It includes a 40-acre recreational area named Kindleberger Park, with lovely gardens, a baseball diamond, tennis courts, picnic facilities, and many other features. Many KVP employees, including executives, live in the community. Parchment has its own city commission, police and fire departments, newspaper, and civics clubs. But the best way to get acquainted with the Parchment community is to talk with someone who lives and works there. Recently, a new pastor came to serve the Parchment Community Church. He is Dr. James Pollock. Dr. Pollock is a young man who was chaplain with the first unit of American troops to enter Berlin and who shed his chaplain's uniform only a few months ago. Dr. Pollock is in our studios this evening. As a newcomer, what are your impressions of Parchment, Dr. Pollock?
Parchment impresses me as being a heaven-blessed place in which to live and raise a family. The community is young, friendly, aggressive, and up-to-date. The houses are new and designed for good living. The school is excellent. The church is on the job. The mill is progressive and community-minded. Many gifted people from the Kalamazoo industries and professions live here also. Their presence adds much to the Parchment picture. Our people have a high education index. They also have a high average in regard to leadership ability and willingness to use it. And there definitely is an enviable community morale. I would hardly know where to stop in saying nice things about Parchment and its people.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Pollock. That's very fine. We've also invited two Parchment workers to be with us this evening. The first of these is Henry Smith. What's your job at Parchment, Mr. Smith?
Cutting paper.
You're a paper cutter.
Paper cutter.
And just what is a cutter?
A cutter, well, cutting it from large sheets into small sheets.
I see. How long have you been working at Parchment, Mr. Smith?
31 years.
31 years. Well, that's a mighty long time. You know, the other day, a local employer commented to me on the large number of men nowadays who drift from one job to another, never staying at one place very long. How does it happen, Mr. Smith, that you've stayed at Parchment all these years?
Well, I was always treated well, and I liked the people, and I made a lot of friends, and a floater never gets anywhere, that's what I thought.
It got to seem like home to
yes,
you.
Yes, it's just like home to me.
About how many hours a week do you work, Mr.
40
Smith?
40 hours a week.
You work 40 hours a week?
Yes.
Have you got any hobbies?
Well, I've got a garden, flower garden, and raise tomatoes, and do some Bible study, and so on.
Well, that's very interesting. You live a happy life.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Our other parchment worker is Mrs. Winifred Schultz. Are many women employed at parchment, Mrs. Schultz?
Yes, we have about 245 or 50 throughout the mill and office.
And what's the nature of your job?
I am a clerk. I receive orders and record them, assist in the scheduling, and keep time records and inventories.
Have you had any particularly interesting orders lately?
Well, during the war, we printed and shipped a great many prisoner of war postcards and stationery. They were printed in German, Italian, and Japanese, and were highly sensitized to prevent sending any secret message or code. Another more recent order that I think very interesting is our printing of kites. We ship these out by the millions. They're printed on various colors of lightweight papers and are very attractive.
Did you say a million kites?
A million.
Orders
usually call for a million.
That's certainly more kites than I ever thought existed. Well, thank you, Mrs. Schultz. And now I'd like to chat for a moment with Dr. Fletcher Desitels, the man who heads up the research department at Parchment. How large is this department, Dr. Desitels?
Our whole company is research-minded. Much research and development work is always being planned and carried out by every department. Also, much of our progress is due to suggestions made by our employees. However, there are some 8 to 10 of us working in and out of the research laboratory whose chief responsibility is research and development.
Well, how do you conceive of the purpose of this department, Dr. Desitels?
The purpose of the research department is to help ensure the future security of the company. That means to develop new papers and new uses for our papers so that we won't have all our eggs in one basket. In other words, so we will be prepared to meet competition and changed conditions as they come in our industry.
Short of an insurance policy.
That's right. If we had today only those papers and those outlets that we had 20 years ago or even 10 years ago, our company wouldn't be at all the fine, vigorous, growing concern which you have so well described on this program.
Well, how about the staff, Dr. Desitels?
We have an especially fine research staff of chemists and engineers, aided by well-trained technicians, a secretary, and a librarian. We also have a bacteriologist. Our key research men have all had many years' experience. Two of us have been with KVP more than 20 years, three others nearly as long. Another had spent most of his life in various branches of the pulp and paper industry elsewhere before joining our company, thus contributing invaluable new viewpoints on many problems. One of our best men served during the war as director of the Quartermaster Corps Package Research and Development Laboratory at Washington. Five of our newer staff members served as officers in the Army and Navy. Experience is the more important thing, but all started with the best of preparation and became graduate chemists or engineers. Several took postgraduate work at various universities.
Thank you, Dr. Desitels. And that brings to a close our story of the Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment Company.
This has been the second in a series of programs planned to help you get better acquainted with Western Michigan at work. Tonight's program brought you the story of the Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment Company. Next week's program, which will be heard at 6:30 next Monday evening, will feature the A.M. Todd Company. This has been another program presented by Station WKZO in the public interest.